Open up your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to talk about the God kind of faith today, just for a little while. I'm really excited. I've got glimpses, previews into what's coming at the conference and leading into the conference, and I'm really excited about what's coming. I think you will be too. How many of you knows this is the year of power? We're really coming into it. It'll be a year since he spoke that statement right at the first of the conference. And your life, whether you know it or not, your lives are about to change forever. And you say amen now. And it is an amen, because you're going to see the signs and wonders and things like you've never seen before. But at the same time, the enemy is not going to crawl in a hole and die. So it's going to be great, scary, and victorious. Amen? Amen. This is a very familiar passage, John chapter 20. We're going to look at Thomas now, verses 24 through 29. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Now, this is after the resurrection of the dead, and Jesus has already appeared in his glorified body. Now, the other disciples saw him in his resurrected glory. They saw him in his resurrected body. And they are, that's what they're telling here. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him," unto Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, in plain modern day English, he is saying, I will believe it when I see it. When I can see it and touch it and feel it, that's when I'll believe it. And that's natural human faith. And there is a place for that. There is, when you're about to step off the curb on a busy street and you look to the left, look to the left in America, and the bus is coming, you can perceive with your physical eyes, you can see the bus is coming. God gave you natural human faith to know, do not step in front of the bus. That he gave us that kind of faith to navigate in this human world, in this physical world, let me say it that way. But see, the God kind of faith does not work that way at all. Now, Thomas says, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I can touch it. I know that he was nailed, that there should be imprints in his hands. I know that. If I can touch that, then I'll believe it. But see, he was not going to believe the word, the testimony that was spoken unto him. So let's go on here. I'm going to read that again. It's so important. He said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days again, his disciples were within. This time Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side." Now notice how he says this. Be not faithless. See, as far as God's concerned, Thomas to this point was faithless, even though he had natural human faith, like everybody has natural human faith. See, every time you're about to sit in a chair, whether you realize it or not, there's a whole engineering process that goes through your brain. happens instantaneously. You look at that chair, you know, you look at it, and all these calculations happen almost instantly. You look at that chair, you look at the legs, without even thinking about it, you're considering your own weight. I'm thinking that chair will hold my weight. I think I'll sit in that chair. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. That's natural human faith, and we all have it. But notice, God calls that kind of faith, when it comes to the realm of the kingdom, when it comes to the supernatural, notice how he says that, be not faithless. That's not the God kind of faith. That's natural human faith. So be not faithless, but believing. Real faith believes God's word. Now, so Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Once, this is still human faith. He saw it, he touched it, then he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me. Now let me just say it a little differently to impact your brain. Because thou hast seen. And your faith is based on what you see. Let's say it another way. Your faith is based upon your sight. You have believed. But notice, Jesus doesn't say a word to Thomas about being blessed there. He says, you have believed because you've seen. But notice, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. Now, I have some really good news for you. You're not you yourselves already know, because you're here on a Sunday morning. Did you know you have the God kind of faith and not the Thomas kind of faith? Let me prove it to you. How many of you believe Jesus was crucified? Can I see your hands, really? Were you there? Do you have a movie of somebody that was there? I don't mean a made up one. You weren't there. You didn't see it with your natural eyes. Yet you believe it. Why do you believe it? Because of God's word. Somebody preached it to you. Somehow you heard it. Somehow the knowledge of God's word got into you. And you believed without having seen. How many of you believe there's a heaven? How many of you been there? It's got one. Paul went there. I never have been there yet. Other people have been there. But you probably believed it before you went there. See, that's the point. Well, is that the Thomas kind of faith or is that the God kind of faith? Why do you believe that there's a heaven? God's word says there is. Now see, when it comes to salvation, everybody that I've ever known who's really born again, they have the God kind of faith. Because they weren't there when Jesus was crucified. They weren't there to see the empty tomb themselves. They're believing it based on God's word. And God's word just plainly says, if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How many of you believe that? Were you at the empty tomb? Were you there the day that it happened? But yet you believe, don't you? That's the God kind of faith. You have believed the word without having seen. You have that kind of faith. And everybody I know, because it says if you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead and confess with your mouth that he is your Lord, you shall be saved. Every born again person I've ever met has the God kind of faith when it comes to salvation, because they weren't at the cross. They weren't at the empty tomb. All they have for it is God's word. If they choose to believe it, and God says, blessed are you because you have believed without seeing. Say, turn to somebody and say, I've got the God kind of faith. I am blessed because I have believed without seeing. I have faith in God's word. I am a blessed person. Jesus said, blessed are those that has believed without seeing. I have the God kind of faith. And see, that's true. That's true with every person I've ever met They do have it, whether they believe they have it or not, whether they even think about it or not. They have that kind of faith. Otherwise, they couldn't be saved because nobody was there. Nobody saw Jesus crucified. They didn't have that Thomas kind of faith. They've got the God kind of faith because they believe based upon the report of the Word of God. But see, that same kind of faith, God doesn't have multiple kinds of faith. He has the God kind of faith. He has faith. How does Dave say that? The Bible never says God is faith. It says God is love, and it says God is light. Yet everyone knows that God is a faith God. Hebrews 11:1 still says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 of that chapter says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that same kind of faith that you have, and all believers have, real believers, when it comes to salvation, that is the same kind of faith that obtains your healing. It is the same kind of faith that obtains your needs met. Faith in God's Word, not faith in your circumstances. I remember when the Lord was building faith in me, gave Gary Carpenter specific instructions when it comes to having our needs met, because our needs were not being met. And at that point, I wasn't ignorant of the scriptures in my head. I could have quoted you a whole litany of scriptures about how God supplies your needs from my head. But see, strongholds aren't really necessarily all in the head. Strongholds are deeper than that. They're even deeper than your emotions. And there was something in me that had been put in me in the denominational church I grew up in. Something way down there that says if you really have God, you got to be poor. And I couldn't get rid of it. Even though intellectually I knew better and I could teach better, I couldn't get out of it. We were behind on everything. You name it, we were behind on it. We were doing the Bible studies in those days. And the people would come and we'd do our best to make everything look wonderful. And it was fine as far as they knew. And I didn't poor mouth at all. I'd preach that message like we had $1 million. Helene is laughing because she would come, you know. She was at those Bible studies. I'd preach those messages like we had $1 million in the bank. And on the inside, I'm praying, oh God, please don't let them shut off the electricity till after everybody goes home, you know. Because you know how it is. You pay the electricity this month and the gas next month. It was behind on everything. So God gave me an assignment. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. What can we do? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Love not our lives unto death. So what he did for me, he had me choose three scriptures. And he had these, you know, again, okay, these are not magical. It doesn't have to be these three. These are the three that I chose, basically. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that not the word of God? Psalms 34:10, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And he had me say those 4 hours a day. And I mean say them out loud. 4 hours a day. Took me forever to do it. I got beat out of it 1,000 times before I ever finally did it. My thoughts would rise up. This is stupid. Now you become one of those that thinks you'll be heard for your much speaking. The devil will use scripture against you just like he did Jesus, you know. Tried to quote a scripture to get him to jump off the temple, you know. But I finally did make it. Nothing changed. And I made it another day and nothing changed. And I made it a week and nothing changed. And I made it a month and nothing changed. And it went on for months. I hate to admit that my soul, that stronghold, was so big that it took that long to break it. But one day, you know, it says the entrance of thy word bringeth light. One day the dawn arose in my spirit or in my soul. I don't even know which. All I know is nothing changed on the outside. But on the inside, I stepped from one room into another room. I stepped across some kind of threshold. I went home and we had a stack of bills nearly a foot high on the dining room table. And I walked in and Sue was there in the room. I just really vaguely know she was there. But I was laser focused. I walked right over to that stack of bills and I pointed at them and I says, I don't live there anymore. Now see, that same kind of thing is going to happen in you regarding your healing, regarding whatever miracle it is that you need. The entrance of His Word brings light. Whatever it takes. You know, they came to Jesus and they're going, what must we do the works of God? They kept watching the miracles that He would do. And they're going, well, what must we do to do the works, plural, of God? He answered back in the singular. He said, this is the work, singular, of God, that you believe. All things are possible to him that believes. If you don't believe, like I didn't believe, it's time to fess up that I didn't believe and work on the part of me that didn't believe until I did believe. See, all of these things are just tools. He has given us these wonderful, incredible tools. He has given us His Word, which is the truth. It's up to us whether we renew our mind with that or not. He's not going to do it for you. But it's for you if you want it. What if the man with the blue stone, I don't know if it was blue or not, whatever I saw a blue stone. Whatever that stone was that the man saw that cross in, what if he went, oh, that's neat, and threw it away? There was a hunger on the inside of him. What does that mean? There has to be a hunger on the inside of you for the Word of God and for truth. See? Now the good news is you already have that kind of faith. You are familiar with it. Otherwise, you couldn't be born again. You have faith in the risen Lord because of His Word. You weren't there at the cross. You weren't there at the empty tomb. You weren't there the day that He walked through the wall. I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have been there. I haven't been to heaven like some have. I haven't been there, but I believe there's a heaven. But I also believe there's power. This is the year of what? Power. Yes, sir. I didn't think we had time, but we do. Okay. I want you to open up to two places in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 14. Now we're going to look at two different healings that are almost identical as far as the condition. Two different men who were lame from their mother's womb. This is more than just a sickness. This is not even really a sickness. Both of these are birth defects. See, I remember in the early days, years ago, the devil even defeated me on that one. I wanted to pray for somebody that had a birth defect, and the devil says, no, he bore your sicknesses. He didn't say nothing about birth defects. See, you know, birth defect isn't really a sickness like a virus, is it? But see, the Word of God's, it includes birth defects. I can tell you right now, the Word of God includes whatever you need. Yeah. Okay, now watch this. Let's look at the two of these. Now, one of these, I'll tell you ahead of time because I want you to see the difference. Do you remember in Corinthians 12, right near the end of it, Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts? See, God's still in the gifting business. And I want you to know right now, you qualify. You are already qualified for God to use you in any gift. And I mean before lunch, during lunch, after lunch. All you got to be is born again. And really, I even have to change that. That's how I used to say it. You know, I used to say that all the time. All you got to do to be qualified for the gifts is be born again. I got news for your head. He gave me an assignment to find the gifts in the Old Testament. Do you know I found every one of the gifts in the Old Testament except two? And that's tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those two are exclusive to the New Testament. But all the rest of them, word of knowledge, gift of faith, prophecy, you don't even have to be born again for God to use you in those. You just have to be available. You qualify is what I'm saying. One of these miracles came strictly by the gifts. The other one comes by the preaching of the word and faith in the word. Now, we are, say, what I want is the word and not the gifts. So what I want is the gifts and not the word. I want both of them. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That excellent way is love. Okay. But while we're maturing into love, let's not throw out the gifts. Amen? And if you're the man crippled from your mother's womb, can I just tell you the truth? You don't care as long as you get healed. Somebody asked Oral Roberts one time, they said, well, which one is the best gift? And I love his answer. He listened, and he says, the best gift is the one you need at the time. That is the truth. That is the truth. Okay. Are you at Acts 3? Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, now notice, lame from his mother's womb, say out loud, birth defect. Say out loud, he never walked. He had no experience with walking. Okay. So a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now he's begging for money. Okay. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now let me ask you, what was he expecting to receive? Money, thank you. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now he's telling the man to do something from the man's point of view is impossible. Can you imagine what that guy's legs look like? I think in one place we're told he's roughly 40 years old. Can you imagine how withered those legs would be having never walked? Notice they carried him there. His little old legs had to be shriveled up, you know, the atrophy of the muscles. It's impossible. What Peter says to him in the natural, if you're going to go by what you can see, if you're going to go by natural knowledge, if you're going to go by natural wisdom, it is impossible for the man to do it. But notice, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now he helped the guy some. And immediately, everyone say immediately. Immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength. Did you know the Bible says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is your strength. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now this is purely by the gifts. There was no preaching of the word. This man was outside the temple every day. He wasn't inside the temple hearing even when Jesus would preach, I don't think. He's outside the temple. His faith is not based on the word of God. I don't think he has heard the word of God. If it is, it's left out of this passage. This is strictly by the gifts of the Spirit. Peter operating by word of knowledge, walking in fellowship with the Lord. Strictly based on the gifts. Now let's watch an almost identical situation here, healed a different way. And that's Acts chapter 14. Let's pick it up in verse 5. hear pages still turning. Hallelujah. Pages. Nowadays, usually it's phone. You hear fingerprints, you know. People on their phone. It's good to hear pages. Hallelujah. So Acts 14, verse 5. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now notice, and there they preached the gospel. What did they preach? They preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. Say again, birth defect. Impossible to walk. Never has walked. Okay, now, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now, the same heard Paul speak. What is Paul speaking? That was weak. What was Paul speaking? Thank you. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. Now here it is again. Something impossible. Something the man has never done. Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. Now this one is not based on the gifts of the Spirit. This one is based on the God kind of faith. Let's look at a few. If you make notes, these would be good notes. If you don't have something to write on now, you can get the message later and make these notes. Yes, sir. Even before, now let me kind of send that about. Here we have two healings. One based strictly on the gifts. The first man that was sitting at the gate beautiful really was not based on his faith at all. It was based on the faith of Peter. Peter said that later on. He says, why look on us as if by our own power or our own holiness? No, it is that name through faith in that name. Well, who had that faith? Was it the lame man or Peter? It's Peter that had that faith, see? By the gifts of the Spirit, if you have faith, the gifts of the Spirit operate through you based on your faith. One time the Lord told me when Sue and I were beginning to travel, He says, humility is good. He said, but I need you to change your demeanor somewhat. And when you go into these places to minister my word, I want you to go in as the man and woman of God that you truly are. Now, not in an arrogant way, but in a way of knowing who you are. Because if they don't have faith themselves that I'll heal them, I need them to at least have faith that I'll heal them through you. See, a lot of people, I'll just tell you the truth. And I'm for prayer lines. You may see me in a prayer line again myself. But a lot of people have faith in God using Dave to heal them. And thank God for that. We don't want to do away with that. That's what happened here with the guy at the gate beautiful. He received a healing based on Peter's faith in the gifts. How many of you know the devil doesn't normally just leave you alone for the rest of your life after that? After you got saved, did the devil ever come back and tempt you to sin again? Amen, he did. After you got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, did the devil ever come back and say, that wasn't really tongues, you just made that up? You bet he did. Did you ever get healed and then the symptoms come back on you and he'd try to get you to think that you didn't get healed the first time? The devil's excellent at that. And see, the problem of it is, if you received your healing based on Dave's faith, then next time if you don't know how to fight off the devil, if you don't have any faith yourself, and the devil comes to put those symptoms again on you, you got to find Dave now. I can just see you calling the prayer center. Where is Dave today? I got to find out where Dave is because I got to get my healing again. And you know the Lord's gracious. He'll heal you again. But see, there's two different ways. By the gifts, you got to track down somebody operating in the gifts. But the second guy, he got it based on the word. faith came into him. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. So here's some notes. Number one, what was Paul doing? Paul was preaching the gospel. Let's say it another way. He was preaching the word. Okay? The man, the impotent man, lame from his mother's womb, what was he doing? He was hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul is preaching the word. The man is hearing the word. And while Paul is preaching, if faith is coming into the man to be healed, you know Paul isn't up there going, well, we're not sure if healing is for today. It might be for today, but we're not sure. We know it was here when Jesus walked the earth, but he's not walking the earth now. And we're not. Do you think that's the way it was? Yeah, we'll get into it. We won't have time today. You know, when Jesus said power is going to come on you after you receive the Holy Ghost. How many of you, we all know that part, don't we? Most of us don't remember the second part of that. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses of what? That Jesus is alive. And Jesus is still doing the same works, only now he's doing them through me. Come here. Put my hand on your head. You know. There's a boldness coming, people. This is the year of power. There's a boldness coming. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do it now. I think, hold your place there. And go to Mark 16 just for a moment. And not the verse you think I'm going to preach. We usually go right there to he that believes, these signs will follow them that believe. But right here I want to interject this. Hallelujah. Your page is still turning. This is right after the Lord visited them the last time and rose up into heaven. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, if you notice in your King James, the word them is not really there. It's in italics. What if you read it this way? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. What is it that he works with? What is it that he manifests? The word. It is the word. Now, it's okay to leave them in there because he is working with us as we go forth to preach his word. But what matters is the word that we preached. I was praying. Most of you know I was in Canada last weekend, and I like to drive. So I had like 20 hours up there and 20 hours back. And of course, I'm listening to Dave teach on the iPod and others, you know. But I'm meditating many of these things. And this verse came up, this verse, verse 20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with sign following. And at one point, I heard the Lord ask me this question. Is it exactly what word are you preaching that I can confirm with signs following? Now, we teach a lot of the word here. But what he's talking about is when it comes to going to Indonesia or it comes to going to godless Missouri. I mean, going to Missouri. I got to tease a little bit. Steve's here. When you go, your word had better be the word of truth. Paul preached the gospel, not some mamby-pamby, watered-down, doctrinally approved, hermeneutically whatever. Preached the word. Preach the gospel. And the promise is, if you will do that, the Lord says, I, personal pronoun, I will confirm that word with signs following. I'll just tell you right now, this was not news to the 12. That word there in verse 20, this had happened already before. Remember when he sent out the 12? He sent them out ahead of him, two by two, did he not? Two by two to go preach the word. And he wasn't physically with them. Yet when they went to preach, and what was their message? The kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning, you can be healed today. That was the word. You can be prospered today. You can be blind. You don't have to stay blind. Everything that Jesus, that's the message. The kingdom of God has come unto you. And when they would preach it and the people would come, they cast out devils, they healed the sick, they cleansed the leper, and they raised the dead. And the Lord Jesus was not physically with them, but the Lord was working with them by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same way He's working with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Then later He sent out the 70. It wasn't just the 12. He sent out the 70. Now they're going everywhere, two by two. And they had the same testimony when they come back. They were shocked. They said, Lord, like it was news to the Lord. Almost like, did you know that even the devils are subject to us in thy name? I mean, they were so shocked. But see, the Lord was working with them, even though He wasn't physically with them. The Holy Spirit was with them. The Lord working with them, confirming His word with signs following. We're coming into the year of power. Our word is going to become more bold. Our word is going to become more pure in line with what Jesus said. And it's going to cost you everything, because same way that religion rose up against Him, religion will rise up against you. But we have a promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Mm. So let's get back. Okay, let's get back here to the man healed at Lystra. Number one, Paul preached the word. Number two, the man heard the word that Paul preached. So how did the man get faith to be healed? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. He heard the word that Paul preached. Now it says Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. That's a word of knowledge. Paul, he received information from heaven. He perceived it. He said, this man has faith to be healed. Now how many men were there? We're not told how many people were in that congregation right there. I wonder how many other sick people were there. See, you can have people, you can preach the same gospel. I've seen this happen in the denominational church I grew up in. I know these people. And some of them are sinners, and more than one's a sinner, you know. And the gospel of the cross, that's the only part they'd really preach, but they preached that part correctly. And Christ crucified, and if you want to be saved, come on down, you know. And there'd be multiple sinners in there. They'd all hear the same word, but only the ones that would hear it and believe it and then act on it. They're the only ones that got saved. Well, I wonder how many other were there that heard this same thing that needed healing. We're not told, but thank God we have the record of this one. And it's a toughie. When you're born lame, see, we talk about strongholds. What kind of stronghold would be in your brain? That you were born, you've never walked in your life. Never walked. What kind of stronghold would that put in you? The devil ever tell you you've been this way too long? Yet as he heard the words, and I'm asking the Lord now, Lord, help me understand better, what was Paul preaching that would take a man born blind? What message was that? How strong was Paul preaching? It had to be something like, I don't care if you're born that way. There is nothing impossible with God. It had to be along that line, didn't it? You can be healed today because He already bore your sicknesses, carried your pains. It had to be along that line, didn't it? And as the man's listening, faith is coming into the man. This is not by the gifts. This is based on the man's faith, not the faith of Paul. And when Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, then Paul spoke a command, stand upright on your feet. And you have to know At that moment, nothing was different about the man. If his legs had been shriveled before, they're shriveled at that moment, because he hasn't acted on the word yet. If it was impossible before, it was impossible at that moment. If he listens to his soul will say, "It's what I mean is his understanding. His understanding, logic will say, you can't do this." But see, faith is beyond the understanding. Faith is of the heart. And when he heard that gospel, and Paul perceived faith had gone in, the man had received enough faith to be healed. He gives him the impossible command. Stand upright on thy feet. Oh, I'd love to have been there. Seen them little bird legs. Maybe he was sitting there cross-legged, little bird legs, you know. But the man did the impossible, something he had never in his life been able to do. And the man stood up when the circumstances and history said it was impossible. But the man released his faith by acting on the word of God, and he got his miracle. This is the year of power. We're going to be operating in it both ways. Not only by the, you yourself. I think he's given you an instruction like he gave Sue. You need to change your demeanor. You need to start understanding you are a vessel that God can use. And I mean use right now, today. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, then you have all the power you're ever going to need. He can manifest the gifts. Now, you can't make the gifts happen. It's severally as he wills. But without you having an expectation and an awareness, it's not likely that you'll hear him when he speaks. When he starts those promptings, it's not always words. When I hate to say speak almost anymore, it's not always words, but it's a knowing that comes. He says, I want you to lay your hand on that person. I want you to, and it sometimes he'll say teach, and sometimes he didn't. Peter didn't teach nothing to the man at the gate beautiful. He said, look on us. Well, okay. Going to give me some money? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name. I can almost hear it, you know. In the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he gets the guy by the hand, lifts him up. And the miracle happened. That was based on Peter's faith. That name and faith in that name. He didn't preach nothing to that guy. But this other fella. Now see, the thing of it is, history will tell you, even modern history, people that operate the Benny Hinn type ministries and other ministries where they have lots of manifestation of the gifts, they'll say, the problem is the people will get healed, but after a few days they'll lose it. See, now if you don't know how you got it, you don't know how to get it again. See, you have to, that's what I say, you have to drive to the next meeting where that evangelist was, you know. But see, the guy over here in Acts 14, he knows how he got it. He got it by the word. He understands it. If the devil comes and tries to steal it, he's got something to stand on. He knows how he got his healing in the first place. And he can keep his healing when the devil comes back. Amen? We're going to have both kind. Let's get them healed, get them in the church. Then let's teach them the word of God, get faith on the inside of them. Not only they get healed and stay healed themselves, but then they can go get a bunch more saved and healed. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.